Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The specific link is being posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So welcome, Mark M., a compulsive overeater from New York.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm an abstinent compulsive overeater and food addict. I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to be here with all of you. I want to thank everybody that's here, everybody that's doing service, and everybody's just showing up, but also to thank Jessica for sort of guiding me in so gently over the time when we set this up. So I really appreciate that. When I came into this program, I was 519 pounds. That was April 18, 2007. That is also my abstinence date. I always like to kind of start off, look, this is my story, my own personal journey and recovery. So please take what you need and leave the rest. So what I was like, spoiler alert, spoiler alert on this is, where was my faith during this period of my life? My foundational problem is an over-reliance on self. That's essentially what it was for me. And so, that whole, I lived the majority of my life with a fear suit. Whatever came in, was distorted through this sort of suit, and whatever went out was distorted through the suit. I was in charge of my life for 42 years, and I didn't love myself. I didn't forgive myself. I didn't trust myself. I didn't even believe in myself. That was my lower power, if you will. There's two ways to lead. One is tyranny and the other is inspiration. For 42 years of my life, I was led by tyranny. The freedom, the bondage of self is what it was. And this program gave me respite from that. It gave me a gift, to put a new person in charge, one that can restore me to sanity. So, when I came into this room, like when I was young, as an adolescent child, I cannot remember a time that I wasn't ever, I like to think that, it really isn't about the weight for me. When I look back, I can't say that I understand like that I was more that I was morbidly obese my whole life, because I wasn't. But I can't remember a time in my life that I was never a compulsive in general, but a compulsive eater, that everything was around food for me. And for as long as I can remember, I've always had a God-sized hole. I always kind of say this. It's like I feel that fear tends to fall into three big buckets: not getting what I want, losing what I have, being found out. And for me, all of those fired off. They fired off for 42 years of my life, and I'm letting them go now in this work that I'm doing. I get a daily reprieve. But the thing is, the one that was probably core in my addictive behavior was, in my addictive belief system, was the being found out. Because I didn't even believe I didn't even believe that I really even belonged on this world. It's not like I said that consciously, but I certainly acted it, and I certainly like embodied it. I felt rejected in life, that I didn't really belong. And again, that was, feelings aren't evidence of truth. They're evidence of what I'm putting my faith in. So in that time of my life, where was my faith? Was it in my higher power? Or was it in the lies that I was telling myself about myself and the world around me? Faith is a powerful thing. It took away 42 years of my life, but it's also has given me a gift. It's a matter of transference. It's a matter of transference. It was never faith or no faith for me. It was, where was my faith, and was it in self-reliance? Was it in fear? Was it in what I was telling myself about myself that was untrue? In this throwing several lifelong conceptions out the window, and by the way, several is a pretty low bar for me. I have a lot of lifelong conceptions I'm throwing out the window, and I get to do that on a daily basis because I was brought to my knees and brought to this program. Almost all of my binge eating was primarily in secret, this says a lot about that God-sized hole within me. I think even underlying of all of that was this concept in me. I think it's almost an addiction in and of itself, or sort of the underlying piece is for 42 years of my life, it was almost one of my addictions was managing other people's perceptions of myself. And so, I was in around the ninth grade, I was 200 pounds, went to my first pay and weigh, and lost 50 pounds. Right after that, I came out of it and went right back to doing the same thing. All I had is a food plan when I came in there and basically went up to 250 pounds. Then after that, I lost a bunch of weight and went down to 175 pounds before college. And then in college, by the time I came out of college, I was 300 pounds. And at that point, it was just still a climb up, and it was 300 to 525 pounds in 1998 was the highest I'd ever weighed myself. This is insanity. This is insanity. This is what step two is talking to me about, but I didn't know it. I wasn't capable at that time of being honest with myself. I didn't have this program to really take a hard look at myself and to really, and it took me, again, here I was, 525 pounds. My way of solving that was stopping everything. I broke, I dissolved a partnership with a business partnership. I moved back home. I went to a pay and weigh again, lost a bunch of weight, went down to 375 pounds. But I remember at that point thinking, oh my God, I'm only halfway there. And then what would happen is that work just dropped in my lap. And I thought, as always, oh, it's going to be okay. Right. And I went right back to the same things I'd always been doing, And so it basically that part brought me up to a period of time in my life where I was. It was 2006, and I'm going to show a couple of pictures because I meant to do that earlier, and I'm going to show these. So, just to kind of qualify here. Oh, there it is. Okay. So this is me in 2006. This was at that time in my life that I was talking about. This was a year before I came into the program. These photos, the one on the right was a week after coming into program, and the one on the left. Was about a year after that or so, almost. I'm gonna stop sharing. And it was in that moment, in 2006, not long after that picture was taken, that I found myself in a hospital, and three doctors were standing in front of me, and they were saying to me, Mark, you're gonna die if you keep doing what you're doing. And here's another part of that insanity. I remember telling myself I needed to be scared of what they were telling me. Telling myself that I needed to be scared. And listen, I was petrified in that moment. And I was scared of the death part, but in all reality, the thing that really had a grip of terror on me was one, the being found out, the deer in the headlights. Here they are looking at this person that can't even take care of himself and is morbidly obese and is a failure on this world. Now, again, this is me saying that, but these were all lies. But probably even more than that was what they were asking me to do, to give up my friend food. And by the way, it wasn't a friend, it was more of a frenemy, right? So I remember at that point that I was going to take what I was gonna do it this time. They gave me a food plan. I'm like, I'm gonna do it this time. It was a month after that. I was in a hotel room in Atlanta, eating enough food for probably a family of 8 to 12 until I couldn't even walk. But the most important thing about that And I said it when I started off this program, it's the first time God talked to me, but that was a lie. I remember saying to myself, I can't do this by myself anymore. And what that really was is that's the first time I was listening to, because I had to get the gift of desperation. You know, it's like God said, Mark, I have the soft way and the hard way to bring you closer to me. Which one do you want? I'm stubborn. So I took the hard way for 42 years of my life. That's a lot of oblivion. But that moment, you know, where I listened for the first time propelled me into this program. It took time because I didn't know what to do. I remember calling away at one point and not getting a call back. And I am going to be, I tell you, I am grateful for that because I don't think I was ready. I got here perfectly. And it took me almost a year to get into this program. And you know, when I came in these doors, I remember getting some help from a therapist because I didn't really know what was going on. And I said, I need to go somewhere. And she helped me get in a treatment center. And you know, I started my program out of the treatment center because they believed in the 12 steps and they brought me into OA. But the other thing is she talked to me about food addiction. I said, I don't really know what that is. And she talked to me about sugar and not having sugar. And I said, never. And she said, we never say never. But the thing is from that time, that was around February to May or to April when I came in this program, I went in the biggest binge that I had ever done. I was doing things I wasn't doing before. But I think once again, that was another part of my desperation that I needed to go through. Because when I came in these doors, I just started taking action. I was defeated. You know, abandon yourself to God, right? Abandon myself to God. You know, when they say turn our will and our life over to the care of a higher power, I'm a very visual person. So turn over 180 degrees. That is the behaviors that I was doing before and the behaviors I was doing when I was coming in. I was in meetings when I normally would have been eating at that time. I had driven myself in a one-way with a one-way rental car to a place that I didn't really know, took a huge leap of faith, and I had people that were there for me that brought this program alive. I got a sponsor and started working the steps. You know, I was in that program for that the retreatment center for 2.5 months, but let me just tell you this. I got a nutritionist out of that that got this disease. That's a gift for me. I got out of the toxic environment. I got help with some things, but in reality, the thing that saved me, I was only there 2.5 months. It is this program that saves my life every day because it's a daily reprieve. I pick it up every day. You know, when I first came in this program, you guys said, keep coming back. And I remember that slogan, keep coming back, keep coming back. And I remember thinking, okay, don't leave, don't leave. And I never left, but it means so much more than that. Step 10 is essentially keep coming back. It is my daily alignment. It is keep coming back to cleaning house. It is keep coming back to God. It is keep coming back to myself. It is keep coming back to my food plan. It is keep coming back to what would God have me be each day. And my 10th step, my good orderly direction sheet that I do, GOD, is about me aligning myself to God and operating on what God would have me be today, right-sized, which is so powerful. Humility, right-sized, it's a huge thing. My food plan is right-sized. It's not non-compulsive and non-destructive. It's not gluttony. It's not deprivation, you know? Right? And I've gotten a lot of gifts out of that. So I came into this program, and the one thing I can say, you know, one of the really thing, you know, again, you guys know I'm stubborn, right? Listen, look, food is not my problem. Food was my answer. It just happened to be an answer that was killing me. The problem, what's different this time? What happened? The problem is powerlessness. The solution is a power greater than myself. How do I get that power? Through a program of action. And my sponsor always said, you know, look, if I have no willingness, I have no program. Action is a concrete form of willingness. of surrender. And that is the way that I live my life in this program. What is that next right action? I can't be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. What is that next right action that I can take aligned to God in this program? Right. You know, it's I'm an ADHD person here. So I tend to kind of want to make things huge things. When I make a list of things to do, it's like I make monsters on that page. And I have to break it down to small, easy, right-sized bites that I can take. That's what God would have me be. Happy, joyous, and free. Wear the world like a loose-fitting cloak. Gentleness, not taking myself too seriously. Rule 62. Right? These are important for me. But when I first came in this program, I have to tell you that stubborn thing. I did steps one through three times within 6 months. One, because I started at a different place. And when I got to the new place, I got a new sponsor and we started going through. Two, I'm a multi-winner. I entered into another program and I'm doing step one, two, and three again. But that was important for me. I did steps four twice. I mean, these were really powerful for me. And that second time I went through, like my first time with my sponsor, and he was with me until he died. God bless him. He gave me so many gifts in this program, and everything you're hearing, but most of what you're hearing here are come from him. But you know, the thing is like I needed that. You know, I needed that. I needed that. Really full on immerse myself in this program, kind of hard start because it changed my life. Like I remember going through like my second time I went through step four, right? And this is when I was like my first sponsor. He was an AA guy, but he brought me through the big book. But he didn't really tell me. He didn't say this word, but that's exactly what he was doing. Second time I went in, I was going through the big book page by page with my sponsor. And when we got to step four that time, and I remember doing step four the first time with my sponsor. You know, I did what I could do. It was beautiful. It was perfect. The second time. We go in there and I'm kind of like, you know, my sponsor kind of maps it all out for me, you know, and to me, and this is not him, this is me adding some things later, but essentially to me, I was finding that step four, you know, obviously the core principle is courage, which the opposite of courage is fear. But the thing for me is, and what made it so powerful, I started to realize that everything that was happening, that basically when I'm doing an inventory, when I have a character defect, when I have harmed someone, all of those things, it's the wages of fear. And that is what that step does for me. You know, like one of the powerful things when I was doing that step with the sponsor is we brought in some of the pieces from the AA 12 and 12. And it was really where it really talks a lot about the instinctual drives in there, the God-given gifts that I'm meant to have protected every day. And so what like again, I kind of crafted this document, essentially four columns, pretty much the way they talk about it in the big book. It's essentially like that. But the thing that was powerful for me at that time that was huge and it blew my mind was the column three, where it lists, you know, the instinctual drives, you know, self-image, you know, self-esteem or pride, security. Physical, emotional, physical, emotional. You know, when it talks about like my ambitions, which are my goals, drives, plans in the future, my sexual relationships, my relationships, those are my instinctual drives. And the thing is what I've come to realize is that line between column one and two, that's the reliance line. Because the first two columns are life happening in front of me. That's all they are. But where is my reliance? Because what happens after that? Is it God or is it self-reliance? Because what happens after that line is different based on where it is. Because those God-given gifts I'm supposed to have, but if I'm in fear and cut off from God, I think those are threatened. And I go about trying to solve them myself. And that brings me into step four, or into column four, I'm sorry, where what is my part? Where I'm off the rails, where I'm trying to make things happen. You know, I am not abandoning myself when that's going on. I am all about my self-reliance. And so, you know, it was a gift the way that was presented for me, and I needed it, that needed to hear that. Again, like step one, it's the core principles of honesty. I can't. Step two, God can. Step three, I think I'll let God. Step four, the courage. Step five, integrity. These are powerful things for me. And one of the biggest things I've also was a gift I was given is my sponsor at that time, the one that brought me through the steps of the big book. He also gave me this sheet, and it was a long time ago. It was before we even had ours, and it was essentially taking a problem through all 12 steps. Like, a problem I am having is, and I wrote that out, and then I started taking it through 12 steps, and he had me do one of those every week. And I've done workshops and events on this kind of this particular thing. And we have our own sort of, I think it's a 12-stepping a problem. It's a pamphlet that we have, or a card, a small card, and it's huge for me. I mean, doing that kind of work on those industrial strength things that were coming in my life, that I was again, it's a spiritual axiom. When I'm disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with me. And that piece really, for the first time in my life, it was like I came out of that with actions. I came out of that with hope, when these things would go on, where otherwise I was just stuck in a loop, and it was the first time I was able to kind of take that and actually do that work, and not have to rely as hard on my sponsor, because basically the gifts were right there. He was always there for me in that, but I needed that, right? And so, for me, again, cleaning house. I had 42 years of house to clean, and it's not just a small little cleaning. It's the foundational work as well. And for me, like when I was before I came in the program, cleaning house for me, literally and figuratively, was sweeping things under a rug, throwing them in a closet. That's what I did. That's not cleaning. I mean, that's the way it was with all of my list of character defects that I had masked up. That's the fuel of my disease. All of that stuff piled up, it doesn't go away. It doesn't just go away. I have to do that work. And the beauty of the 10th step every day is I get to do that work, and I get to start the next day clean. That's a huge piece for me. It's how I it it you know I had a therapist tell me one point. She said, "Mark, I'm going to talk about money, but I mean energy." And she said, "What's drawing money out? Be aware of what's drawing money out of your bank." And she said, "Also, be a what are you doing to put money back in your bank? Because addictions are like a credit card. We think they're money, they're not, and they have a whopping interest on the back end." And that's what all of that house cleaning was doing for me. That was the interest, and it walloped me. But the beauty of this program is I'm putting money back in my bank. I'm not operating on a deficit anymore. Like my sponsor pointed out to me, it was one thing that he kind of said that just sort of threw me for a loop. And he said, "Mark, you come into every relationship with a deficit. That's that God-sized hole, that being found out kind of thing." And he was right. And with this program, this design for living that works in rough going, I've done a lot of healing on that. It's funny. I talk about this a lot of times, where, that God-sized hole that I have, that being found out kind of a thing, fear, the bondage of self for me is, it's like I'm an eagle that thinks he's a chicken, and that he can't fly. I have wings, I have them, but to me, it's like they don't exist. And this program has helped me to realize that I have them, and I can use them, and I can be what God would have me be, one day at a time, every day. Right? So, let's see. I'm going to talk a little bit about, I don't know how much time I have left here. I've kind of gone a
You had
little off script
6 minutes.
Oh, perfect. I'll start these things with things written down, and then I just have to let go, right? And let God. One of the things I'll talk about from the standpoint of that another piece somebody gave me. I remember being in some workshop where they were doing, I don't know, they were doing almost like a visioning board kind of a deal, right? And right before that, my sponsor and I were talking about the promises. And I was like talking about, I was really starting to see them. I was seeing them manifest. And I was talking to him like, oh my God, the promise. And he goes, yes, Mark, that's one half of the promises. And at that time, by the way, he never told me what he meant there, which is the beauty of him, because that's the way he was. He was talking about the bedevil. It's essentially the promises, the bedevil. They're two sides of the coin, kind of a thing. That's essentially, I think, what he was talking about. But what it did for me is it basically started me on this path where I took the promises. Try this. I took the promises and I wrote them backwards. If I am not painstaking about this phase of development, I will not be amazed before I'm halfway through. Just right through that whole thing. By the way, the ending's the same. It works if we work them, right? Either way, it works if I work them. But that led me into this thing of being in this sort of workshop and having this thing where they did a visioning board is kind of we're trying to take, our what would God have be and put them on boards and stuff. But I remember coming across this image in a magazine of a monster making kit. And it was like God talked to me again. It was almost like boom, it hit me. And I was like, oh my God. If I take these core principles and I write them backwards, honesty, dishonesty, hope, despair, right? If I write, faith, and by the way, faith, the opposite of faith. It's just where is the faith? By the way, I've found for me, courage, fear. If I write them backwards, I come up with the core principles of my disease, of my addiction, of my dark passenger. And that helps me a lot in the program because it's like, where are you, Mark, in this moment? Are you afraid? Well, I know where to go. Where are you? Are you being honest? Are you being dishonest? I know where to go. Those things help me a lot. They give me a big compass. This program, this is not a program of learning. It's a program of unlearning. It's not a program of figuring things out. That's what I like to do, by the way. It's a program of letting go. And that is really like, that's really what I've been given. A lot of unlearning and a lot of letting go and a daily reprieve to keep alignment to that every day. To keep myself aligned to God, that kind of North Star, to keep rowing forward. If I stop rowing, start rowing again, right? Because when I stop rowing for a long period of time, I start going off into the dark waters and I might not ever come back. So all I have to do is just keep going. I don't have to do it perfectly, right? And I'm going to say one thing about like getting help. This one last thing. I came in the program like I went to one meeting and there was this wonderful woman. We lost her to cancer not long after that, but her name was Bonnie. And she said to me, Mark, she said, as I move through my recovery, it's like I find that I'm putting together a puzzle. And as I finish that particular puzzle, I find that it's a piece to a bigger puzzle. And other people have pieces to my puzzle. When I isolate myself, I deny myself those pieces. That means our literature, that means people. And so my sponsor always told me, build a strong support work network. He said, Mark, I only have the piece of the puzzles I have to give you. I can't tell you what to do. Build a strong support network. Reach out to all of that when you have problems, myself included. He said, but then it's up to you and God to make a decision. And with that, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.